Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline where the days are getting longer, the skies are getting clearer, it's warmer, and we decided to just skip spring. We went straight from winter to summer. Hallelujah. At least it's warm. And today we're going to have Dr. McGee on the line with us, and he'll be here presently. Before he does, let me say hello to Stacy, who's on the line. Stacy, how are you?
Hey, Jack, I'm great. Thank you.
What a magnificent day. A good day to be this side of the daisies.
Hey.
Don't you agree?
Yes.
Robert, this is Jack. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you doing?
We're just kicking tail, taking names. Yours came up, so we're glad you're on the line.
Okay, here I am. Kick away.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, last week we were talking about some things that I thought were really pretty interesting and kind of get to the heart of some of the things that are so troublesome for believers in America today. And it amazes me that at the time of the American Revolution, only 5% of the people were actually Christians and church members. Now they're more than 50%. The earlier generation had a dramatic, profound effect on the culture. And now we seem to be marginalized and have allowed that to happen to the extent that, you know, there are just a lot of things about us that really don't gel and that don't matter. To us, we are very comfortable or at least moderately comfortable, you know, with the society being going the way that it is, which is not a good thing. And, you know, and we were talking about some of these things, and I've thought about it since last week, and I'm just wondering what your take is on how 5% can influence everybody and 50% can't influence anybody.
Well, most likely that 5% knew what they believed. The 50% don't have a clue.
I think you're right. They knew who they were. They knew their purpose. They were strong, resolute, not obnoxious, just solid people.
Well, they might have been obnoxious. We don't know that one, but the other ones we did know.
A little bit of the ad-lib here.
Yeah, I think and unfortunately, most Christians don't really understand what Christianity is about. So therefore, they don't act like it. They don't act like Christians. You know, one of my favorite things from last week was, what did Lazarus do to get raised from the dead? Well, he didn't do anything, right? And yet we go around and we think that we have to be doing this, that, and the other. And the fact of the matter is, God calls us to rest in him and allow him. I mean, obviously, he's going to prompt us to do certain things, but most of the things that we do are just not very effective. You know what I mean? I mean, one of the big things today in church is, how casual can you get, right? And where at one point in time we overdid, well, how dressed up can you get to go to church? You know. Now the question is, how casual can you be? Now, this is going to hack a few people off when they hear me say this, but I don't think it matters a hill of beans what you wear, as long as you're not trying to emphasize your lack of responsibility. I mean, look, you're going in to worship the Almighty God who created the universe, and we want to wear flip-flops into that. I'm just a little bit uneasy with the casual, because it's not just the casual dress, it's the casual way we approach God individually and corporately. And the dress is not so much important as the way we approach him. And the way we approach him is based on our perception of who he is. So,
you know, I think that, you know, being in recovery and having, you know, picked up a chip in AA 20 years ago, literally 20
yeah.
years, and been to thousands of meetings, the whole idea of God as you understand him, or the God of your understanding, has not served us well. Now, you know, AA serves us well. So does Al-Anon. So does, you know, Alateen and Narcotics Anonymous. All of them. They're very helpful, obviously. But with a viewpoint towards Almighty God, that is, he can be this, that, or the other, regardless of what you think, doesn't serve as well. I'll be honest with you. I remember going to one meeting one time, and there was this woman in there, and they were talking about the God of their understanding, and she said, well, her God helped her write better S&M articles. And, you know, I was so uncomfortable, I ended up leaving. I didn't come back for months. But, I ultimately did, because I needed the accountability and the camaraderie, which was very early in my sobriety. But, you know, her God was a demon.
The very statement that God as you know him is just a nonsensical statement. That means he isn't anything. I mean, he's a pile of putty, right? And if you want to make him look like a goat, okay. I mean, God's, I think, is not happy with this God as you know him nonsense, right? Number one.
I'm certain that he isn't.
I know God sort of expects to be worshipped as who he is, not who we want him to be. And that's my theory on the thing.
The thing, Robert, is that God's very patient and loving and kind and forgiving, but almost everything, when it comes to having false gods before us, he's not very patient with that.
Sometimes we get what we ask for, and then we're in real deep trouble. If you get to choose your God, you may have chosen a dog with one ear. I mean, what are we doing here? What is this make any remote sense at all? So anyhow, that's my opinion of. I mean. AA has been good for a lot of people and has not been good for some people. And, you know, so there it is.
Well, if in our in churches, the idea of, we were just talking, you know, when you had mentioned about people being very casual, the very first thing that came to my mind was literally watching a couple guys, college kids, you know, walk in flip flops, and literally flip flops, and you know, that it did seem a little funny to me. At the same time, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic, which was you know, since the Eucharist was the transubstantiated body of Christ in Catholicism, there was far more reverence where it came to worship. People didn't just gab, and you know, I mean, there was a solemnity, and some of that just, you know, might. But at the same time, you know, once it gets into you, it's hard to. I couldn't go to church in flip flops. Personally, I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't go if that was all I could go in.
Yeah, it's not really the point of the whole deal, but I mean, look. There's such deception within the church. For instance, getting back to your roots, right? Praying to dead people is not particularly helpful, right? But it is helpful for the church, because the church changes out saints every once in a while so they can raise more money. You know what I mean? that's the reason they do it. So,
you know, my mother said to me when I was little, because she'd had a son, and then I didn't come along till for close to 10 years, and she wanted another baby, and she said that her mother had died. Her mother's name was Bridget. She said Bridget went to heaven, and told Mary to tell Jesus that I wanted another child, and you came along.
Yeah.
And you know, she believed this. I mean, it was a big deal. And you know, and then when I got to be a teenager, you know, it was kind of the other way around.
This may explain a lot about you and how you came into being.
Oh yes. Yes, this is and in my little mind, I couldn't compute all of this stuff. I and wasn't really interested. I was, you know, interested in, you know, school and sports and girls, and you know, so I didn't really pay much attention. But I've thought about it.
Probably not in exactly that order either, my guess.
Stacy, he's found me out, hasn't he?
Yes.
So, anyhow, yeah, I mean, it's, look, I know Stacy's on the line, and Stacy always comes up after I've explained something to her, and she's about half glad and half mad. Because she's glad because she's heard something that's true. She's mad because she hadn't heard it before, right?
That's
And she's been floating all this time. And look, it makes a difference, right? There's so much wrong with what's going on. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and what's going to happen is I think we're going to go through extremely hard times. And when that happens, the ability of a person's relationship with God to carry them through is going to be sort of obvious. And at that point, there'll be people who wonder, well, I've been pretty good. It's like when I was in the Vietnam War, obviously, and I was flying some replacement troops, and we were actually over Cambodia. And I got shot in my helicopter through my knee. And I looked at my knee that was bleeding. I go, I didn't even want to be here. And here someone goes and shoots me.
I didn't even
and then my second thought was, I really have been pretty good most of my life. I mean, I don't think I deserve this one. And so that was how now. Because of the, I mean, I know that VA screws up probably a lot, right? But they haven't by me, right? And so I have secured medical services, hospital. I mean, I was looking at the last hospital bill because they sent it to you just to let you know how wonderful they are because they paid it. And it was like 2 or 3 days, and it was like $15,000 or something like that. And I thought to myself, I just wish I knew which one of those guys shot me. I'd have sent him a thank you note. Because I'm now at about 50% disability, and that didn't have anything to do with my mentality. I'd probably top it off if we considered that. And the long and short of it was I didn't think it was a really great deal to be shot. I had to lay around for about 2 weeks while the thing healed, and I wasn't happy with that. But, I mean, God looked forward in my life to when I would need care. And so that's what he provided for me through that bullet that came through the bottom of the helicopter through my leg. And it was real interesting. When we took like about 30 rounds underneath the helicopter, and we weren't brightest people in the world, but we did know this helicopter's probably not going to fly much longer. So we scooted over the top of the trees and found a little burned-out area, and we landed. Now, we were part of a long daisy chain of helicopters, and when we had to land, and this was in, obviously, enemy territory, all the other helicopters broke off their mission and landed in a circle around us, kicked out their infantry guys they were carrying, and I got to hobble over to another helicopter, took me to a mash unit. And I thought
so the infantry was to secure the perimeters to so that everybody would survive.
No, the infantry
right?
was on board already. No, we were actually headed out to a place where a group of the U.S. soldiers had been shot up pretty badly, and they needed some replacements. So we knew we were going into a hot area. But we didn't think it was all that appropriate for the guys who were coming to help to pop smoke, which means to identify the landing place, that would be between them and the enemy. They must have thought we were flying a blooming tank. I don't know what they thought. They probably didn't think, right? So, but what was sort of interesting was there wasn't a meeting to decide what they were going to do. There wasn't a debate whether we deserve to get shot down or not. We just got shot down. And when that happened, everything else went by the boards, and they came to save me. It reminds me of another incident where I was living in Florida, and which has a fair number of vultures, and a vulture had wandered too close to the road and had gotten whacked, right? Now, the other vultures came. It looked like they were having a choir, right? And I thought it was very interesting. Even vultures will not pick on one of their own, which is a step above what most Christians do. So,
oh, my goodness. What a picture. So
yeah,
vultures
it was
won't
really
eat their own. But Christians do. I mean, in a book I wrote, one of the little things, you know, you put little quips at the front, and I had put, you know, that Christianity is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded, which is kind of a cliche. People abuse it quite a bit, but it's there's a truism to it that's really sad.
Well, they actually shoot and then eat their own, right? It's not a pretty picture, right? And if somebody has been in any kind of position of authority and they screw up, whoa, they're in a world of hurt. So, but those are the things that little lessons in life you learn as you go through life. And you also learn that God just, he does things on his timing, and we're supposed to relax and do what he tells us to do, but not get all nervous and frustrated with what's going on around us, which is part of what we talked about last week, that most Christians are somewhat at peace if they can figure out how God's going to do, how they're going to get out of their situation, right?
Yeah.
But they basically freak out when they can't figure out how they're going to get out of it, right? And as though the God of the universe, who keeps every atom that's in existence in the universe with their subatomic particles rotating around it in perfection, somehow has lost track of them. And that's just a sad deal.
Well, it's very human. It's, you know, there isn't anybody, anybody that says that they haven't experienced that just isn't telling the truth. You know, because
Hey, Brian?
I have no idea what that was.
Yeah.
At any rate,
let me call you back in a second. I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. People have experience with this, and essentially what it does is it says God is limited to my understanding of the universe, which really takes him from the 100% of what he is and puts him down to, you know, 1/10 of 1/1,000,000 of a percent or whatever it would happen to be. And it really is silly, but it is our experience. And we have to consciously think to not think that way. Or be reminded that we have to renew our minds, because we get into these things. And you know, I mean, we've faced a bunch of them here for quite a while, and, you know, just kind of marginalizing our ability to function to everything else. And it's like, okay, what's it all about, Alfie? I mean, there's, the very hard stuff. And it's hard because, you know, we're just limited human beings.
Well, one of the things we do is we try to reduce everything down to the normal, right? So therefore, when things are really going bad, we either ignore them or interpret it in such a way that it fits into our life perspective. And the classic example of that was in a underground station in England, where they have the subways, had just had an explosion. This was several years ago, a bombing from a terrorist group. And the writer of this article was amazed because people were still going up to the ticket counter to get tickets after all this mayhem had occurred. And he concluded that what we do in our mind, if we don't know what to do about it, we begin to respond as though it's probably some just normal deal, all right? And so therefore we don't do anything that's going to get us out of it. That's what's happening today. I mean, how many people say, yeah, it's really awful? But quite frankly, I think most people today do not take enough time to even understand what's going on. And part of the reason they don't is because they wouldn't know what to do with it, and they just ignore it.
Mm. I was thinking about that, and the restaurant, you know, that was at the top of the World Trade Center, and that I ate at one time, and how there were people that there were people that thought that, you know, well, when were their reservations going to be honored? And the building no longer existed, nor would it. And they couldn't quite get their minds around all that had happened, even though it was, you know, it consumed the consciousness of most of us for, you know, still does.
Yeah.
Still does.
Yeah,
well,
on the one hand,
that
we're not supposed to be freaking out about all this stuff, but on the other hand, we should recognize when we're in an abnormal situation, because that way we can take it to God and let him instruct us what to do. Other than that, ignoring it is not an option here. So.
That makes sense. Stacy, real quick, tell everybody where they can find us.
Our web address is www.mcgeeandme.net. It's all lowercase letters spelled out, mcgeeandme.net. And our phone number is 800-460-4673.
Okay, Jack, I will see you in Atlanta, hopefully, and maybe we'll do it from Atlanta next week, okay?
Well, that's good. Are you you need to run?
Not for 4 minutes.
Well, I was just going to say about our products that...
Yeah.
For people who are hurting and want to understand that their issues are mostly because they don't know who they are in Christ, that we have specific books and programs to help them redefine who they are, and if they know who they are, then their ability to get past their alcoholism, their drug addictions, their prescription problems, their, you know, their overeating, overspending, you know, over whatever, you know, can become something that's part of their past and not something that's part of their current reality and their foreseeable future. And we, you know, we help people with things like this all the time, and we're here to do that. That's all that we do. That's all.
Well, Jack, if they want to find out more, they could call Stacy, ask for the leader's guides. The leader's guides will give them a very clear picture how different we are from most of that that's out there. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, we're putting those up on the website for people to use, but we haven't done it yet just because it's been getting the PDF files for it already. You know, it's taken a little bit of effort on our part, and it isn't soup yet. But it will be by the time that we have our show next week. When you're in Atlanta, which by the way, it's beautiful weather here, so you're going to enjoy it. And
okay.
So let me just say thank you, Robert, Stacy, and this is going to be an interesting couple of years ahead, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing, and we hope that you all will continue to listen. So thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Good night, Jack.